Good morning, saints. You're welcome to the Sunday school this morning. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, shall we please rise on our feet? As we bow our heads for an opening prayer, I want to ask Brother Duncan at the back to please open us with prayer this morning.
Most precious Heavenly Father, we bow before the throne of grace and mercy this morning.
Yes, Lord.
To thank you, to praise you, Heavenly Father. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for this privilege that you've given unto us. The Lord Jesus Christ, we are gathered in your presence, Heavenly Father.
Yes, Lord.
Lord Jesus Christ, what a privilege.
Yes, Lord.
To come to the King of Kings. And we know for certain, Heavenly Father, when we gather in your presence, great things happen, Heavenly Father. Amen. Lord Jesus Christ, we bring our praise and our thanksgiving, Heavenly Father, for your love and care upon us throughout the week, Heavenly Father. Yes, Lord. Lord Jesus Christ, and as we have come, Heavenly Father, into your house, Heavenly Father, we have come in expectation, Heavenly
yes.
Father.
Yes, Lord.
Not to hear from a man,
yes, Lord.
But Father, to meet with you, Heavenly Father. Meet every need, Heavenly Father. Come and break the bread of life, Heavenly Father, to each one of us, according as we have need of you.
Amen.
Lord Jesus, deliver the bound. Set free the captive,
yes,
Heavenly
Lord
Father.
Jesus.
Fill with your Holy Spirit, Heavenly Father.
Yes, Lord.
Lord Jesus Christ, radiate this place, Heavenly Father. Let your word come in power. Lord Jesus, as we sit at your feet, Heavenly Father, bring forth your word, Heavenly
yes,
Father.
Lord Jesus.
Take our precious brother. Use him, Heavenly Father, according to your precious will. Those that are on the way, Heavenly Father, bring them safely to the house of God. We love you. We thank you.
Yes, Father.
In the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we ask all this with thanksgiving.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Let's open our Bibles this morning to the book of St. John, chapter 3. The book of St. John, chapter 3. We're going to read one verse there, then we'll be seated, and then we continue. St. John chapter 3, verse 16. He said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." May the Lord bless his word. You can please have your seat. While you have your Bible close by you, the prophet made this statement in the sermon, Choosing of a Bride. We're still in continuation of the topic we're talking about, marriage and divorce. Prophet made this statement here. He said, that always stuck with me, of how that was one choose a beautiful girl, the other one choose character. He said, now, that's the only way you could choose. Now, first, look for character. And then, if you love her, fine. I want you to put that statement in mind, because that's where I want to dwell on this morning. Because for the past Sundays, we'll be talking about character. I didn't finish character, but I just want to go a little bit further. He said, first, look for character. And then, if you love her, fine. And then the prophet went further. He said, notice, God's first Adam did not have any choice for his wife. He didn't get a choice. God made him one. And he didn't get to choose her. So we find out that she led him astray from God's word. He didn't get to pray over the matter. He is not like you and I. He didn't get a choice. And again, by doing that, she led him away from his rightly position as being a son of God. And she did it by showing him a more modern way of living, something that they really shouldn't have done. But the character of her showed that she was wrong. Her motives and objectives were simply wrong, and persuaded him by her reasoning that the modern new light that she had found, which was contrary to God's word, was a better way to live. And how many women today, and vice versa, men, that could pull a good woman away from God or pull a good man away from God by trying to tell him, this religion, you Pentecostal boy, that religion, they say that's old-fashioned. It's old foggy. Don't you believe that? You better pray hard before you marry that girl. I don't care how pretty she is. Same thing to the man. She persuaded him out of the will of God and caused him to do something that he should not have done, and by it caused death to the whole human race. That's why the Bible forbids her to teach or to preach or to handle God's word in any manner. You say, I know, sister, many of you say, I'm reading this for a purpose, so that you can have a thought of what we're talking about. You say, I know, sister, many of you say, the Lord called me to preach. I'm not going to argue with you. You see what the prophet is saying? You could come to him, sister, say, the Lord called me to preach. You say, I'm not going to argue with you, but I'm going to tell you the word says not to do it. She shall not teach or usurp any authority but to be in silence. Well, you say, the Lord told me to do it. I don't care. I don't doubt that one bit. Did you hear my message the other night about Balaam? Balaam got the first straight court decision of God. Don't do it. But he kept on fooling around till finally God told him, go do it. God might permit you to preach. Are you following me? God might permit you to preach. I didn't say he didn't. But it's not according to his original word and plan. Amen. She is to be under obedience as also said the law. True. Therefore, she's not supposed to do it. Now notice again how the natural bride types the spiritual. The word says that she was made for man and not man for her. Let's open our Bibles to the book of Ephesians, chapter 5. I hope you follow me this morning as we go. Ephesians 5 from verse 22. If you are there, say amen.
Amen.
Okay. You say, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to her own husband in some things. I was hoping you get that. I thank God you did. In everything. You see, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. So, husbands, we have a duty to love our wives. You married her, you should love her. You should care for her. You should take care of her. See the comparison of Brother Paul here, as Christ also loved the church. Christ did not just love the church by saying he loved the church, but he gave himself for the church, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. You get that? He that loveth his wife loveth himself. You know, the scripture doesn't lie. This scripture is perfect. So if you say you are a husband and you do not love your wife, what does that tell you? You don't love yourself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourished and cherished it, even as the Lord, the church. For we are members of his body and of his flesh and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, for I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. In the sermon Hebrew chapter 4, remember I told you, you should put this statement in mind. First, look for character, and then if you love her, fine. The sermon Hebrew chapter 4, the prophet said there, said, now watch. The first is a perfect love. That's God's love. Pure, unadulterated. The next come in here is filial love. That's love that you have for your wife and your children. The next drops after that is lustful love. And next is ungodly love. And it just go down till it's filth. Just keep on perverting. He was trying to explain the different types of love in there. And Hebrew chapter 6, he said, let's take the spirit of love. That was the great fountain of God's pure, unadulterated. We've had many people say, oh, I love him, I love him, I love him. What is love? We've had many definitions of what love is. That was why I read the book of St. John chapter 3, verse 16. That was why I read the book of Ephesians, saying what the Bible tells us about love. Now, I want to read to you what the prophet says about those things. He says, now, then it come into human love. Then it come into sexual love. Then it come into other love. Love and love just keeps perverting down till it becomes just to filth. But all those things had a beginning. And someday, it will wind straight back to the original. Where lust, human love, passionate love, all those love will have to cease. All this make-believe of faith will have to cease. There's one true faith. All others will have to cease. They were perverts of this real fountain. In the scripture, in the book of Proverbs chapter 31, let's open our Bibles to that. Proverbs chapter 31, I think is verse 30. Let me see here. Proverbs 31, verse 30. Okay, yes. Proverbs 31, 30 here says, favor is deceitful and beauty is vain. But a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. A woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. In the sermon, Looking at the Unseen, the prophet said, a few days ago, I was listening to a program on the radio. Coming to Sunday school, and it was a round table discussion with teenagers in Louisville. What was one of the most important things? Listen, he was listening to a radio program, right? And to a discussion among teenagers, talking about relationships and all those things. I said, one of the most important things was a girl to find a boy with a curly hair. This was what they were talking about. And the girl with the pretty blue or brown eyes, did that make the difference? It seems like that would be the great thing to a teenager. But that isn't the great thing. The greatest thing is find your God, your maker. I hope you are following me on the direction I'm going this morning. The greatest thing is find your God, your maker. Don't mix marry. Marry a boy that believes just exactly like you do. For after all, God is the main important thing that we are here on earth to do. Marry a boy that believes exactly like you do. Marry a girl that believes exactly like you do. Our duty here is to serve him. And if you do marry or anything contrary to that, you will pay for it in the days that lays ahead of you. I hope you are getting that. I'm going to read that again. Don't mix marry. Marry a boy that believes just exactly like you do. For after all, God is the main important thing that we are here on earth to do, is to serve him. And if you do marry or anything contrary to that, you will pay for it in the days that lays ahead of you. You must always remember by faith and not by sight. The just shall live by faith. That seemed to be pretty strong. Let us teach our children. It did not mix well there. So you will pay for it in the days that lays ahead of you. Absolute. The sermon absolute. It says, when you get married, there had to be a wind back through your mind, something till you hit that tie post. And it should have been love for your wife or your husband. Well, maybe she is not as pretty as John's wife. Or well, she's not that, but there's something about her that strikes you. No, I'm going slow so that we can get it. Something about her. It may not be that because she's beautiful. Listen to what the prophet said. He said, maybe not as beautiful as John's wife or as that sister or as that lady, but there's something about her that strikes you. She might not be as pretty as the other, or he might not be as handsome as the other, but there has to be an absolute that there's that person is different. Something about her, about him, that strikes you. And that's where you hold on to. And if that isn't there, you better not get married. Are you following me this morning? If that tie post, if that absolute, if that striking force is not there, you better not get married. In a sermon calling Jesus on the scene, he say, it's just like you say, you know, you men, if you are the right kind of a husband, there's no woman in the world that you love like your wife. Amen. Did you get that? There is no woman in the world that you will love like your wife. There might be other women, might be more fair. There might be women that will be prettier women and so forth. But something, that tie post, that striking force, if you really love your wife, there's something in there that you don't notice, but she looks like. You love her. You don't know why, but you love her. And women, you, the same to your husbands. You love you young girls, your boyfriends, boyfriends to girlfriends. If you've met that person, then you know you love. There's something in there. You know you love them. Kinsman Redeemer, yesterday morning we were lying in the bed a little late and the children didn't have to go to school. And we got to speaking about different things. What was hatred? As the prophet and his wife now, he said, I said hatred had a beginning and so it has to have an end. Mm-hmm. Love had no beginning. If you remember the previous quote that I read, I said something about all this other love are going to wind up into the original. Are you getting me? So if you remember that quote, you know that this one that he is saying has no beginning is not the one that will wind up. Do you understand me? He said, love is eternal. Hatred begins and hatred will end. Love never did begin and never will end. It's eternal. So what love is that? From the scripture we read, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And when a man loves a woman, listen to this. And when a man loves a woman and marries her because she's pretty, there will be an end to that. So when you marry that woman because, oh, she's so beautiful, remember, there will be an end to that. If you're striking force, if you're tight pose, if that thing is beauty, there will be an end to that. If your tight pose is his height, or the way he has his abs, his six-pack, there will be an end to that. Listen, when a man loves a woman and marries her because she's pretty, there will be an end to that. But when a man finds a woman that he loves, he doesn't know why. It's not attached to beauty. It's not attached to the car he drives. It's not attached to the house he lives or the money he makes or his position in life. He doesn't know why, but he loves her. And she finds the woman that she loves. No matter what he looks like or what she looks like, he loves her, she loves him, that is an eternal mate in glory. You don't get that? Said death or nothing can never separate them because they are from eternity and step into the space of time and will return back to eternity. Eternity has dropped down in the body called time. Then it goes right back up into eternity again. It cannot perish. This kind of relationship, this kind of marriage does not end in divorce courts. Do you understand what I'm saying this morning? This kind of relationship, this kind of marriage does not end in divorce courts. This kind of relationship, there's going to be problem because why? We are on this flesh. There's going to be misunderstanding. But you know, it never breaks apart. So you continue on with Kiss My Redeemer. A woman that's beautiful, that beauty will fade just as sure. You give it a few years. So if you think you're beautiful, few years. There's something about that girl. First time you've seen her, you know you love her. She's part of your soul. She's part of you. And the prophet came down and he said, "Mon Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever." He said this. I was speaking, coming down with Brother Mo. I said, take like the love, a natural love, affectionate love, called filial love, God's love, agape. But in a filial love, you go out, you see Mary and Martha. You are going with Martha. See, you find Mary. There's something about Mary that's different from Martha. Though Martha is the prettiest, but yet you love Mary the best. Now, he said, if there's a Mary or Martha here, I don't mean to use that. I'm just using that as an example, you know. But you find it's a girl that you love. There's something about her. Soon as you see her, you know you love her. That is why I feel so much for people that get to a point and you are desperate to get married and you just start jumping everywhere. You need the grace of God to help you. Because people tend not to really wait on God, pray for God's will. They just want the one that will say yes. And that's dangerous. Permit me to say this so that you understand. For the fact that he's a sister in church, filled with the Holy Ghost, comes to church, doesn't make her to be your wife. Do you get that? Amen. Some people come to church and say, oh, she was in the Lord's Supper. That means, oh yeah, she's a Christian. Don't make that mistake. Amen. They've got to be love between you guys. Yep. I'll keep that back. Listen. You think, oh man, if I could only just get one date with that girl. Well, finally you do. You think that will satisfy that feeling? It doesn't. Then you think, if I could go with her steady, that would do it. Finally you get to go with her steady. It doesn't. If she just let me kiss her goodnight sometime, that wouldn't do it. But finally that happens and it doesn't. Well, if she married me, I know I will do it. It doesn't. Even family relationship. You love her so much, feel like you will pull her all the way through and reach back and pull her again. That, you said that's a rude expression. I didn't mean it like that. What I'm trying to say, you love her, love her, love her. There's no place to find. What is this? She's part of your soul. This kind of a relationship doesn't end up with pots and kettles and cups flying in the house.
Amen.
Amen. I used to say something, that the word of God is being given to us to keep us.
Amen.
We fall into problems when we push the word of God aside.
Amen.
The moment you push God's word aside, you are on your own.
Amen.
But if you follow God's word, He's happy, happy home. In the sermon, Thy House. See, I was telling my wife the other day how much I loved her. So, I don't guess she wants me to talk about this. But I'll do it in private, so I guess I can do it public right now. I was telling her how much I loved her and how I always have loved her since the very first beginning. I said, it don't make any difference. She said, oh, Bill, talking about how fat she was getting and her hair turning gray. I said, honey, you could be that wide. You could be that wide and no hair. I will still love you just the same.
Amen.
Did you get that? He was talking to his wife, you know, how he has always loved her. And she was feeling a little bit of insecurity. So, you know, I'm kind of getting fat, you know. What is response? You could be this wide, however this way he described it, and even no hair at all, I still love you.
Right.
So you see, if you married slimness, if that is what you wanted, if that is what you saw that attracted you, and you married that slimness, after one or two kids, and the slimness disappear, and it's all like this, where will your love be at that time? You see, I'm not trying to be funny, but I'm trying to let us get a point here. He said, you could be that wide and no hair. I'll love you just the same. Because it has to be something there that you have. You have to meet that you love that somebody. It has to be a striking force, an absolute, that you hold on to. This brings me to the question I used to like to ask people or married couples when they have problems. That striking force that you saw at the beginning that couldn't help you, couldn't sleep all night. You just wanted to marry her. You were just praying. Say, I hope she say yes when I pop the question. And now you pop the question. She has said yes. You have married her. And there's a problem. And it's just like cat and dog in there. Where is that striking force? Where is that? What is that? Where is that thing that you could hold on to? It shows that it wasn't love from the beginning. Listen, when you meet that girl that you love, and there's just something, you know you love her, and that's just all there is to it, or you love him, you don't care whether he's handsome or whether he's not handsome, or whether she's pretty or not pretty. That doesn't matter, but you love them just the same. Now, you better watch, kind of hold around close there, because you are getting close to home there. A marriage based outside of that. Woo! And you say the prophet didn't cover all this? A marriage based outside of that is sure to fall. That's in the sermon, Thy House, in case you want to check it out. A marriage based outside of that is sure to fall, or it will never be successful. They will never be happy. Now, I said that to get around to one thing I want to say. Serpent seed. And when a man takes to himself a wife, and if she's correctly his wife, a God-given wife, she'll be just to him as part of him. That's the reason you have so many scruples in the marriage, is because you go out and see some girl with pretty brown eyes or blue eyes or something like that, some pretty figure, and you fall for her. First time she has her first baby, them teeth comes out and she gets wrinkled and old, and then you want to kick her out. And some of you women find some boy with hair slicked down is his mommy's lad, can have dump on it and coily, it all fall out. I know that by experience. Say, but what happens? What is it? You fall for that. You ought to pray first. Watch that. You ought to pray first, because a woman is part of you. And if you embrace a woman to your bosom and taking her for your wife, she makes an imprint on you. Well, say it's like this so you understand it. And any other woman against that bosom won't fit at all. And God will hold you responsible for it. Believest thou this? And not long ago, there was a little girl back there at the tabernacle, my church. She's a sweet little old girl, a Christian girl. She was running around with some little boy who packed a flask in his pocket and smoked cigarettes. This was a situation in the prophet's assembly. Look at the description of the girl here. A sweet little old girl, a little Christian girl. She was running around with some little old boy who packed a flask in his pocket and smoked cigarettes. I couldn't see nothing in the boy myself. The prophet knows the girl. He sees the boy that the girl is going out with, and he looks at the boy. He couldn't see any striking force in that boy. But remember, he is not the one in relationship, right? He's not the one. But as a shepherd, he doesn't understand what his sheep is doing there. So he didn't keep quiet. You get that? You see, I couldn't see nothing in the boy myself. Tried for 2 or 3 years to get to him, to get him to be a Christian, but he wouldn't do it. So I asked her, God, there's something. What's going on? So he called, instead of presuming, instead of playing blindness to the situation, he called her. I asked her. I said, sis, what do you see in that boy? You know what kind of an answer she gave me? Like some of these Bobby Store kids today. He said, Brother Abraham, he's got these cute little feet and he smells good. Church, I believe you know I'm not making this up. He said, he's got these cute little feet and he smells so good. I thought, what a way to pick a husband. Cute little feet and smells good. I said, I'd rather marry a man that was a Christian that had a feet like a box car and smell like a poor cat if he was a Christian. No, no, no. This doesn't give you this doesn't give you the go ahead to be smelling. I want us to read it between the lines here. I want us to understand. He is explaining something out. That what a way to choose a husband. Cute feet, smell good. The situation is too serious than what you are talking about. Cute feet, smell good. That's why he said, I'd rather have a Christian that his feet is like a box car and smell like a poor cat. I'd rather have that. I've known people that hold on to it and smell. Cleanliness is next to godliness. Amen. Don't you go and say, Brother Mary, say you should smell. I did not say that. He said, that's right, a piece. Say, by the blood of Christ, we are saved. He will make a living for you and be a gentleman if he is saved. Not by outwardly appearance, but by the heart God judges. Hebrews chapter 7. Let's go a little bit faster. We've got enough time here. He said, some little old girl started going with some little old shrimp downtown, smoke cigarette, and had a flask in his pocket, and he drove a little roadster car around town. I couldn't see what she's seen in that boy. He wouldn't come to church. You get that? He wouldn't come to church. He would set out there, put her in church out there, and he would set out there in the outside in his car and wait. So this boy actually drove the girl to church. He would sit in his car outside. What kind of a relationship would that be? He wouldn't come to church. I said to her one day, she lived in New Albany. I said, I want to ask you something, girlie. What in the world do you see in that boy? I said, the first place, he hates the very religion that you have. Does that bring us back to our first quote? The early part of this Sunday school this morning? Marry someone that believes exactly like you do. He despises your Christ. He will never make you a husband. He will make you miserable all your life. And I said, well, there's a fine little Christian boys here that you could go with. Your daddy and mother despises the thoughts of you going out, but you go anyhow. You might think I'm sweet 16 or something. See, she started wearing makeup and running. And first thing you know, she was in roadhouses. Did you get that? When you pay deaf ears to the word of God, when the repercussion comes, you bear it. See, this word of God is given to us as a protection. Amen. Once you, moment you think you know more than God and you step out of that word, God is only obligated to his word. Amen. So when you leave that word, you are obligated to yourself. She's going on to eternity now, but then she stood here, you know, what the excuse that girl gave me back there, she loved the boy, he said he's got cute feet and he smells so good. Could you imagine that, perfume himself up like a sissy, not a man? So look, I said, sister, I'd rather go with a Christian boy that had a feet like gravel cars and smell like a poor cat if he was absolutely a Christian. So yeah, that's excuse, such cute little feet and smells good. The little roadhouse runner finally ruined the life of the girl. The boy finally ruined the life of the girl. And he said, it's a shame. Statue of a perfect man. A young man asked me the other day, say, you think I could get married, Brother Abraham, to such and such a girl? I'll close with this. I said, how much do you think of her? He said, oh, I just love her. I said, well, if you're not going to live without her, you better marry her. But if you can live without her, you better not. But if it's going to kill you, you better go ahead and get married. I hope you understand what the prophet is saying here. And so, what are you trying to get to him? This, that if you love her so much, now, before you're married, everything's just fine and dandy. Before you're married, everything is fine. You see, she's the love of your life. You know, without you, I'm the breath of my life. You know, everything is fine. He said, but after you get married, and the toils and trials of life come in, that's when you've got to be in love, that you understand one another. Because trials of life will come in, storms of life will come in after you get married. When you are disappointed in her, it will happen. There's going to be time you will be disappointed in your wife, and she will be disappointed in you. He said, you will still understand one another. And the prophet said, Christ in time. Christ in time. If for every single little thing you do, if Christ have got to kick you out, none of us will be here today. It pays to take warning. In my younger days, my dad used to make this statement. He said, many lives have been saved by taking warning. And many lives have been cut by refusing to take warning. May God help us to take warning of the word of God. And may God have confidence in us as he did to Abraham. He said, I know Abraham will teach his children. Shall we rise on our feet? Lord Jesus, these few words that I've gone forth this morning, I pray, Lord, may you take it into our hearts and help us as we go on in this pilgrim journey. Be with us for the remaining part of the service. May you take prayer minutes as we lay ourselves at your feet. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. May the Lord bless you.